Being a mom is hard. Being a business owner and a mom is even harder. So we love to talk shop together, whether that's what we're planning to have for dinner in our homes or what we're planning for next quarter in our content calendars.
But most of all, we love to hear the stories of other moms who have built their businesses and brands. We've dreamed of becoming business besties with some of our favorite business owners online, and we are going to use this podcast to do exactly that.
Come for the stories behind how moms built their businesses, aka the business banter. Then stay for the laughter and candid conversations, aka the bestie banter.
This is the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
Hello, welcome to episode 2 of the podcast. Hey, Rebecca, what's going on?
Hey, hey, welcome back, everyone. Lauren and I have been voicemoing, texting all day per usual. Now we're just going to transfer the conversation to the pod.
And I can already tell in your voice that you're trying to be way more chill right now.
Oh my gosh, y'all.
You just try not to yell, and I appreciate it because it really, it helped me tone it down too.
Listening back to that first episode, I was like, is everyone listening? Are their eardrums exploding? Because I am so jacked up that I feel like I was screaming into the mic with my enthusiasm. So I'm trying really hard to like take deep breaths and be really chill this time.
Didn't you say that somebody was listening to it on double speed or 1.5 and they were like, wow, y'all talk really fast? It's like, yes, we do talk fast, but you got to notice this is not one that you can put on 1.5 or 2 times.
Right. Like I normally listen to every podcast on 1.5 or 1.75x, and this is not one for that. Yeah, someone DM'd me and I was like, which is funny because when you sent me the trailer, I had it on that. And I was like, Lauren, we sound like squirrels. And you're like, no, that's just how we talk. I was like, I don't think we really talk this fast. And then I realized it was because it was on 2X. So this is not a 2X pod. We'll say that.
Yes, not a 2X pod. Let me tell the listeners what we've got coming up today. So yeah, we're going to have some bestie banter. Always. And we pretty much have like 3 categories of things we're going to talk through today. And then we're going to get into the business banter, which is going to be an interview with me. You are going to interview me for this one. And then next episode, I will interview you about your business to kind of lay the groundwork for what the business banter is going to look like in these episodes.
Yeah, and a lot of you had questions after the first episode, just for like some context for where we're coming from. So we figured it would make the most sense for us to kind of tell more of our stories as business owners before we dive into conversations with other business owners. But we'll get to this in the Steve Jobs moment. But we already have our official email, so we're ready. We're ready to start. We got a Calendly. We're ready to start inviting guests. So guests are coming, so stay tuned. But let's start with some bestie banter. And this is all going to be themed this week because we just traveled together. You and I went to Nashville for a podcast retreat for our business podcast. And so we have a lot of airport observations that we just want to like bounce around with you guys.
Right. So you thankfully had a direct flight there. I had to connect. So I had some extra people watching time. And I don't know that all of our observations fall into different categories like blood boilers or anything like that. But we're just going to maybe talk through some of the things we noticed because to me, it seemed like you hadn't flown in a while because of the noob status that you had walking through the security. You were saying things to me that I was like, I mean, yeah, that's very normal. I go through that airport security like I want to be given the gold medal of walking through. I don't want anyone to have to tell me, oh, take off your shoes, take off your socks. I want to nail it when they're like, do you have anything in your pockets? And I'm like, no, I've done this before. So I go in with like a really big head. I want to win the award for best traveler going through there. But it didn't sound like you were on that path.
I will attest that you were the best traveler. So we got to sit in the airport in Nashville for like 4 hours together before we both flew home. So we went through security together. You were an A-plus traveler. I was definitely a rookie traveler. Like, I don't know what happened to my brain. I think honestly, just getting into the security line and just seeing the TSA officers just like shouting at everyone immediately put me in fight or flight. And it'd be like, can I see your ID, ma'am? And I'm like, I don't know where that is.
Or, no, you were like, wow, that's all I need to give you? I'm like, yes, at this checkpoint, you give them your ID. And then when you get on the plane, you scan your boarding pass. Listen, it's like one and then the other.
I have vivid memories of earlier travel days, pre-children, where you're like going through security and you're having to keep your ID out and your boarding pass while you're walking through the
Times have changed.
times have changed. And that was stressful for me. I thought I had my boarding pass out. Also, I didn't realize I started pulling my liquids out and I was yelled at because apparently, at least the two airports I was in, we don't do liquids anymore. We have the technology now to scan through liquids and realize that the $500 worth of Bareface products I have in my bag are actually not bombs, just bougie skincare. So that was new for me.
Well, I will say they should not be yelling at you because, like I said, times have changed. That used to be a thing. So like, don't come screaming at the people walking through. Like, we're just trying to be safe. Like, what would it really hurt if you took them out? I mean, not really. I guess time, if everybody did that.
And on the way there, they were saying, you know, everything bigger than a cell phone, take out. So I took out my Kindle. On the way back, I take out my Kindle and they're like, ma'am, keep that in your purse. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I thought it was supposed to be bigger than a cell phone. And I just feel like I feel stressed right now, even just thinking about it. Like, that was stressful. You were amazing though.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I wanted to win the award. We'll move on to that is stressing you out. We don't need to talk about going through security anymore. Let's talk about like the observations of the other people around us as we're getting there. So when I got to my gate right on time, which is I'm boasting because that's not how I usually am. I was there with time to spare. I hate when you sit down and someone decides that they should scroll through their Reels or TikTok with their sound on. Headphones.
Put like, some AirPods in.
I don't need to listen to that. I know the trending sounds already, but I don't need to hear 3 seconds of it. Scroll, scroll, scroll. That grinds my gears.
I can't. Or like a really loud speakerphone conversation or FaceTime. I'm like, what are we doing without headphones, y'all? What are we doing? I will say to you, this is another evidence of my rookie travelness. I was probably someone people watching because they're like, who is this person and why is she having such a hard time? Y'all, in the Savannah airport, I really needed to charge my phone because I was planning on charging it on the hour drive to the airport, but I took my husband's truck and he doesn't have a phone charger in it. And so I got there with like 10% battery. And I was like, I got to charge this baby because I got to get an Uber when we get there. I'm looking and looking and looking for an outlet. I cannot find an outlet anywhere. And I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Like, I was looking for one of those high-tech charging stations that they have, you know, where y'all are standing up around the outlets. I couldn't find one. So I'm literally in the corner, like borderline behind the airport person's desk with like the bright red emergency outlet, like a street rat laying on the ground, charging my phone, trying to text you while getting some juice in there, only to finally realize before we boarded that the waiting chairs have outlets in them. The outlets are like in the actual chair. If I had just sat in the chair like a normal person, I could have plugged it in. I'm like, what were people thinking watching me? Like, not one person said like, ma'am, you could just sit right here and plug
it in. No, they just thought you would rather sit on the ground and be really close to the airport attendant person at the desk.
Yeah, I really
that person was probably like, give me some personal space. Why are you trying to be...
She didn't say a thing.
Be up here.
You know what, though? This is good because this was like a practice run before we go on our 10-year anniversary trip. And I'm going to be prepared when we get there.
Okay. When you go on your 10-year anniversary trip, will you bring a neck pillow? Because I'm still wondering why we're using those. The only times that I have brought them with me, I regret it because then I'm on a trip and I'm carrying around this neck pillow. It's not worth it to me.
I feel like a neck pillow would be necessary if your flight's like 5+ hours. Like if you're going to South Africa, get yourself a neck pillow. But like, I feel like just flying, I'm doing like an hour and 15 minute flight to Nashville. I don't need a neck pillow.
Right. I can just throw my head back and mouth breathe open. I can fall asleep anywhere, I think, these days.
That's a gift that you have. Okay. Another thing we need to talk about is the differences in the types of flights we were doing. So you flew Delta, which was I could not believe the difference in your experience versus mine as a Southwester. And I need to say something about Southwest. The boarding policy, the boarding system is chaotic. No one gets an assigned seat, but you have an assigned place in line to stand to get on the plane. And it's like, they do the A's and then they do the B's, et cetera. But like people are already hovering around where you line up. So like I was in B, but there were all these C's and D's hovering. So then it's awkward because you're like, hey, like, are you in line? Are you a B? You have to talk to like every single person just to find your spot. Like, eventually I just gave up and I was like, I'm just going back in the line because I don't even care. Like, I don't care where I sit. I don't have any kids with me. Like, I can be in the back. It doesn't matter. All I want is my carry-on to be on the plane. But like having
But if you're at the back of the line, I don't think your carry-on's getting on.
I know, which is they're just going to take it. And I'm like, I don't want to have an individual conversation with every single person like, "Hey, are you A, B, or C? Oh, are you 25? I'm 26. Okay, I'll step behind you." Like, I mean, like, let's just
Could hold a number and a letter on our phone, like when they come to the Target drive up and they say, don't roll down your window, show us your code. Everyone can just walk around with their code.
I just like zone one, get on. Zone two,
right,
get
because
on.
People like, are vultures enough then that, I mean, I heard a guy turn to someone who was trying to cut in line and say, ma'am, are you sky priority? Like, are you trying to get in front of me because that is on your ticket?
Oh my gosh.
Or are you just trying to cut in line?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Another thing that's new since I traveled is like back in the day, it used to just be like economy and first class.
Or like zone one, two, three, four.
No. And then like if you had, specialty boarding, you went first. Now it's like basic economy, economy plus, economy asterisk star, and then first class. Like I was like basic economy, like you are the bottom of the pole. And then there were all these different levels, like you said, like for yours, it was like Delta Sky, Sky Plus, Sky Premium. It was like
I was just going to try and bring up the list, but it won't show me since I don't have a current flight. But yes, right. I was main cabin one and I was probably eighth on the list. I mean, people who need help getting down the hallway, I don't know what you call that, the runway, people who have small children, people who are veterans. I mean, those are just like the classifications of people. And then add on the gold medallion plus.
Well, and that's what was ironic to me was because like, obviously I love the class, like let's get the people on the plane who need to be on the plane first. But like the way that they categorized it, like it would be like Delta Gold first, then veterans, then Delta Premium, then moms with little children. Like, I'm like, who decided this, the sociology of the airport experience and the boarding process? I'm like, who needs to do a dissertation on this? We need a sociology PhD student up in here just to write a paper about this because this was absurd.
Yeah. And I need to know, did you ever end up following up on our conversation about the rumor that
I followed up? I literally pulled up the article today.
Okay, so our friend told us that she heard that on some cheaper airlines, you could pay for a standing room on a plane. Okay. And I lost it. Like, I thought, is this hurting people like we're on the Mayflower or something? Like, packing the people in for a $12 round trip ticket on Ryanair or Allegiant?
It's Ryanair. So that's where the conversation started. So we were joking about how when I was in college, I studied abroad and a lot of, like, it's so easy to get around Europe with cheap flights. And Ryanair is like one of the main, I guess, airlines that was the cheapest. Like they were letting us fly to Italy for 20 euros, but it's no carry-on, no personal item, no water, no bathroom. Like literally every single thing.
No life vest.
No life vest. Like if this plane goes down, you have no life vest. If you want a personal item, like it had to be strapped to your body. If you wanted just like a purse, it was like an extra 5 euros. Like they were nickeling and diming these people. And we were dying because our friend Sarah, who was there, told us that she was like, I think they do standing room flights. And so I Googled it and it is true. In 2012, Ryanair, the technology was invented in 2003 by some other company, but Ryanair was like legit trying in 2012 you could get the cheapest flight possible if you're willing to do standing room only. You're just standing and there's just a little strap and you're just kind of strapped to the wall. I am trying to picture it during takeoff and landing.
Is it like when you get on the tram at the airport when you're holding onto the loop at the top, like you're on a bus, you know, you're kind of shifting around?
I don't know if they ever got through to it. All I saw was in 2012, they basically said, this is not safe for the people. But then I saw a Forbes article in 2020 where it was like, Ryanair is like trying to do the standing room only again. So I haven't seen any updates since then, but TBD, Ryanair trying to do standing room only, which is the exact obvious experience of you on Delta. Please tell them what happened when your flight got delayed. I could not believe this.
Well, hold on. Before I go there, I wanted to say, it is ridiculous to me that we can go to one extreme to let people stand on a plane, but you cannot have a baby strapped to you in a Solly wrap or an ergo.
Don't get me started on that.
I know. I could go off on a flight attendant who is telling me to take a sleeping baby off of my chest because to me, that feels the safest. I guess I haven't studied airline regulations, but apparently neither has Ryanair because how is that any safer?
I'm like, that baby strapped into you is so much more safe than a baby just free flailing like in your lap. Like I'm like, that's a projectile. The child becomes a projectile when they're out of, I don't understand. But your Delta like bouginess was unmatched.
Okay, so my flight was delayed twice. I mean, it wasn't even that inconvenient. I mean, we just...
Because we don't have any kids with us.
Right.
This is vacation being in the airport. Sitting
and chatting, right. But, you know, I saw some people who were really tired, some people who were getting angry and hungry. Delta comes out like a heavyweight champion here. They have a Rolly snack cart, and they come on the PA system and say, you are welcome to come get whatever snacks you want. And it was almost like people kind of shifty eyes looking around like, is this real? Are we just allowed to get up and get a free snack? Yes, we have paid hundreds of dollars and use all of our Sky Miles to fly here. But like, you're going to give me some Goldfish, Cheez-Its, Rice Krispies, bottles of water? I mean, it was a delightful spread of...
And there was no like ID check at this point. Like I, as a Southwest, you know, savage, if you will, was just sneaking up there and I was getting snacks with you.
They didn't know who you were.
And no one cared. No one cared. I felt
you said, I think my kids would like these fruit snacks. I'm going to take some for them. Like they're not even here. And then you ate them.
It was for me. No, I said, my kids eat these. I've always wanted to try them, but they never let me. So I tried like all the kids' snacks then. Okay, speaking of snacks, something I thought about, remember when back in the day that the snack you got in an airplane was peanuts? Literally, what? Like, how is that even a thing that people were just throwing peanuts into a device where we're recycling the air? Like, I'm just thinking about were peanut allergies just not a thing 20 years ago because we were just handing peanuts to everyone? Do we all have peanut allergies now because we were just throwing peanuts at people on airplanes? Like, the audacity of this in-flight snack to be peanuts to me is the craziest thing.
Yeah. How are people not going into anaphylactic shock and like all carrying EpiPens for their neighbor?
I'm going to say, were the flight attendants literally packing Epis? I don't know. But I'm like, what were people doing that had kids with peanut allergies 15 years ago?
No, they were more concerned with someone choking on a peanut. I feel like people choking on things was more of an issue than a high intensity peanut allergy.
My sister said not the worst parts about being a doctor, but inconvenient. It's like, you're just trying to travel on your merry way. But like, you know, if there's a medical emergency, you have like, I can't
is there a doctor on board? You have
you're
like an obligation.
To step up. And she'll be like, she says now she used to dress like so casual on planes. And now she's like, oh, I feel like I got to dress nicer because if there's a medical emergency, you know, but like she said, a lot of times like someone will go into like a diabetic, I don't know what the word would be for that, a diabetic shock or something.
Yeah.
And people will be trying to do like the exact opposite of what they need. Like, oh, give them this. And she's like, no, you need to do this. And so I'm like,
even if she's trying to have a relaxing flight and be like, I'll let a different doctor get this. It's like, no, my obligation, I have to uphold my obligation to the people because
and to their
people have no idea what's going on.
Well, and she said, my sister's like 5'1", like a tiny person, very, very small, like, and looks very young for her age. She's like, people don't take me seriously when I like was traveling and like my athleisure. So she's like, so now I try to dress it like when I say I'm a doctor on the plane. They actually will let me help the people. But anyway, the peanuts thing, that was wild. I couldn't help thinking about that. And like, what were people doing when we were giving out peanuts and we had peanut allergies? I don't know what to say. Tell them some of the other things that were driving us crazy on the plane.
I was the last one on one of my flights to have a bag in the overhead and talk about something anxiety inducing. Oh, I mean, I was so nervous. When I got to my point to get on the plane, actually the lady at the gate said, okay, stop here. From you and everyone back, you're going to have to gate check your bag. And I was like, please no. Like that's the best part of bringing your bag on. It's like when you land, you just run to your car. I don't want to sit and have to wait for that. So I said, please, can I just go? And she said, go, and like whispered to me. And I was like, yes. And so I get on the plane and everyone behind me now has to put their stuff above. But I'm like, she knew what she was talking about because I got on the plane and they were shutting those cabin tops like left and right. And I was like, there's not going to be room for mine. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I look up and someone had it was bigger than a fanny pack, smaller than a backpack, about half the size of a backpack, taking up one of those spots. I was like, this can go under the seat. Why are you putting this above here? Mm. And she was like, you can move it. And I was like, I mean, whose bag is this? I feel bad. I don't want to touch it. Like, you know, people get weird about that kind of stuff. So she thankfully took it and she was like, whose bag is this? She just took it somewhere else. She was like, I'll handle this. I put mine up there, last bag spot in there. But that's the worst part of traveling with a carry-on, I'd say.
is I agree. Like, I feel like I can't relax until my suitcase carry-on is up in the cargo. And then I'm like, okay, whatever. But yeah, people putting like tiny bags or like a camera or like a shopping bag there with a hat. Like, since we were coming back from Nashville, I feel like so many people had cowboy hats and they were like taking up half of the overhead storage with their cowboy hat.
I'm like, hat.
Ma'am, you need to wear that. Like, I'm sorry. Or put it under the seat in front of you. Like, unless you're over 6 feet tall, like, you don't need that extra legroom under the seat. Put your purse there, ma'am. I also feel like, and this will be the last one we talk about, because if you're listening, you're like, I don't even fly. I haven't flown in 10 years. Same, obviously, because I knew nothing that was happening in the airport. But the last thing that really just grinds my gears, if you will, is the second the wheels touch the ground, it's like, ga-doom, and then vultures up, standing, grabbing, opening the overhead compartment. I'm like, we are still going like 60 miles an hour. And then even
and
when
they're running to the front, they're like banging on the door to get out.
Well, and I was dying on my flight. I don't think these people are ever going to hear this podcast. I had been chatting in the Southwest line since I was forced to make friends with everyone around me as we boarded. I was chatting with this couple in their 70s who live in Sun City, which is this giant retirement community kind of within an hour of where I live. And so, like, we were all landing at like 7 p.m. I knew where they lived. I knew they weren't trying to get to a connection. That's what I'm trying to say here. I knew that they were landing and then they were going home. And they were sitting like 15 rows behind me. That plane stopped. This couple hightailed it. You could tell they'd been playing pickleball. They were in shape and they pushed past everyone. Literally, there's this one like grandma who had her like a grandson who was probably like 3 and he had like a passy. He was exhausted. I was like, please let me hold this baby. But they like push past the toddler so they could get to the front. And I'm like, where are you going? I know you're going home. Like, what are we rushing for? I get it if you have a connection. And that's where I kind of wish there was some sort of protocol that was like for you, your first flight was so delayed that you missed your second and you had that really tiny window. But if it could have been like, okay, if you have a connection that's leaving in under 30, you get priority to stand up first.
Let's have priority offboarding as well.
Priority off. If we're going to do this class system, if you will, a cast system, if you will, then let's do it.
Let's reverse it on the way out. I think that's a great idea. Oh, what a great way to make money. We're talking about business ideas. Okay, you pay a little extra if you know that your connection is going to be shorter or you just want to get home. Like, pay your little extra. You can upgrade while you're there if you're deciding, I'm over this flight, let me off. And you get to be the first one off. Maybe a bidding system.
Well, and here's the other thing I will say is, if you are just being a normal human and just like sitting in your seat, then it's like the people behind you just assume you want to hang and then they don't like just let, they start just push. I'm like, no, like I'm going to stand up when it's my row. I'm not like giving you all permission in the back to like run past me. I'm just like trying to be in an orderly fashion. So like I felt bad for the girl on the inside seat because she was probably like itching to get out. And I was like, we're making a stand here in row H. Okay. We are making a stand.
We're going to follow these rules. Yeah.
Exactly. But we're not going before row G. Okay. So it was quite a time. All right. I think that's all we have for airport.
Yeah. Let's get into some millennial memories.
Let's do a millennial memory. Okay. The theme this week is going to be AIM, AOL Instant Messenger.
AIM or AIM? I know there's AIM. Like kind of some people definitely say one AIM. Or the other.
And AIM. I just want to say one of my most iconic AIM memories is one of my best friends. We called her Mush. Her parents were super strict. She was not allowed to have AIM, but like obviously she needed it because it was 2002.
How did she communicate? Right.
And how to, exactly. And so literally she like made a username at my house and then she would come spend the night and we'd be like on AIM playing Sims and on AIM, like just waiting to see who was on to chat with. It was an iconic time.
Could you have two screen names up at the same time? No.
No. You'd have to log in, log out. At least I don't think you could. That seems like advanced technology.
Right. We weren't there yet.
Did you have a good username?
Yeah. I don't know if this was the trend for you, but I mean, we changed them a lot. Like, I feel like I had a lot of different ones, you know, as my personality ebbed and flowed and, you know, my interests changed. But really the one that I stuck with for, I mean, definitely all of high school, this feels like a really vulnerable moment. Do you know this about me? What this is?
I think I remember.
And then I have a follow-up story about it. And I'll explain a little bit. But is it still out there? I don't know. It was Cheer Chipmunk. Like cheer like cheerleading, chipmunk like an animal.
Just because of alliteration. Like you're like cheer, and what goes with that?
No. When on my team, someone on my team gave everyone an animal name. Like if you looked like an animal, this is what you'd be. And that was what was given to me. And I just really embraced it. Well, because that girl like called me that too. But so that was my name. And I just kept it the whole time. I didn't even have to have any numbers. I was the original Cheer Chipmunk.
You weren't even Cheer Chipmunk too. I love it.
No, the original. But here's the thing. When I was in high school, I got a job pretty early, like 13, 14, working at the cheerleading gym that I went to. And I got to have a checking account because I was making money, saving money. And so I opened up my checking account and my username was Cheer Chipmunk. And it might still be.
No, at your bank.
And I have had to, on the phone with customer service, tell them and spell my username so they could help me with something. And it's one of those things where you're like, C-H-E-E-R. You're like hoping that they don't notice what you're spelling. C-H.
And then you finish and they're like, so Cheer Chipmunk? And you're like, that's me.
Oh, and then I'm like, do we explain or you just like let it sit in silence? Like, yeah, I'm 30 plus years old and this is my username.
That is hysterical.
I think I went to change it and I couldn't change it or something.
I have got to shout out to my friend Annie. Annie, if you're listening to the pod, you know I love you. This is one of my best friends from high school. I have like a boring username. It was like Rebecca D, you know, and like my birthday or something. I don't need to give you all that identifying information though, or else, you know, you're going to hack into me. Which also, by the way, how like crazy that it was a time in technology where we like had all this access to people and there was like no two-step verification.
No.
There was no backup email.
Stolen your instant messenger name. Hacked your identity.
It's out. If you get hacked, you're out. No, but Annie, her initials were ATG. So that was the first three letters. And then she was a soccer player. And so she wanted her screening to be like ATG aggressive, but she spelled aggressive wrong. And so basically it was just like a bunch of letters. It was like ATGAGRESIV. Like it made no sense.
We all know the cheer, be aggressive, BE aggressive.
But you would look at her username and be like, it's just a bunch of random letters in a row. But then once you broke it down, you're like, oh, it's supposed
to be
her
initials. I see how she was trying to do.
Exactly. Yeah. That one always made me laugh so hard. Also, one of my most distinct memories was after my first kiss. So fun fact for listeners out there, I didn't have my first kiss until like beginning of junior year of high school. Late bloomer up in here. It's not because I didn't want my first kiss sooner. I just didn't hit puberty. And so it just wasn't an option for me. You know, I was jonesing for a first kiss before that. It just didn't happen. So I will never forget. It got to the point, like I was like holding out because I wanted to have a really good first kiss. And then it got to the point, like there actually had been, I'm not even going to get into it because I'm not trying to like look a certain way, but there was like one or two people that I'd kind of like given them the cheek because I was like, this isn't, I wanted like a Walk to Remember Mandy Moore moment. Okay. So finally got to the point where I was like, I got to rip the Band-Aid off because I'm not getting that moment. And so I literally was like hanging out with some senior boy that I'd like met in some random elective class. Like I barely knew him. We had watched a Disney Channel original movie in my basement. This was like just seriously taking me back. And then he left and I was like, one of my friends was like, you just need to kiss Tyler before he leaves your house. And I was like, oh God, I got to do it. And so like he like literally says goodbye to me in my driveway, gives me a hug. And I just like look up and we have like the quickest peck of all time. And then here's where Aim comes in. I don't even say a word. I just sprint into my house, slam the door, run upstairs, log in, which takes about 5 minutes, like, you know,
dial
making
up.
A little dial up internet. Yeah. Praise the Lord, no one was on the phone. So I had access to the internet. I get on, I'm like scrolling, I'm like any of my friends on. My friend Katie Sink, we called Wink. Wink was on. I'm like, I just had my first kiss. And I just told her all about it on Aim. And then she was like, what did you do after the kiss? I was like, I came in here and I got on Aim to tell you. She was like, what? She's like, you just left them out there? I was like, yeah. And I didn't, that was like when you had like a flip phone and you only had like 30 texts a month. So it's not even, I couldn't even like follow up conversation. I don't even think I ever talked to him again. I'm not even kidding. I have no recollection of talking to this guy.
Did you like put his initials on your away message then?
Well, here's the thing. I like wasn't even that into him. Like it was literally just like, you have to do this and move on. And I am still a little sad that I did that because my like next first kiss, which was with like my high school boyfriend, was actually so sweet and could have been a movie. And I'm like, man, I should have held out for that and not been Tyler. But now I'm like, oh, it was funny. And I can look back and be like, wow, what a time. What a time to be alive. And when I watch shows like Outer Banks and they're supposed to be in high school and they're like so overly sexualized, I'm like, that is not how it was for me in high school.
I'm going to tell you
that right now. But that's my probably most distinct memory related to AIM. I like definitely loved a good like moody away message, like dashboard confessional lyric though. Like I was totally very into that.
With like star squiggle, capital and lowercase. I mean, you had your – you could like save them too as kind of like templates, right? So, 100%. You know, depending on how I'm feeling, if I'm going to put some Fergie lyrics when I'm going to the mall or something, right?
100%. How do we both know we were going to the mall and Fergie got a site for it?
I don't know, but I'm sure I wish I could like dig up the old ones. I think there are some accounts on social media now, like your away message. That's a good one. And they, they throw some homage, is that the right word, to the times past of
the times past
instant messenger.
Oh, and just like the feelings of like being on AIM and seeing that your crush, their name was like grayed out because they were away, and then it turning black, and then just like waiting to see if they were
like the door open and the door closing, like that sound of like somebody is here, somebody has left. Have they left the chat, or are they entering the chat to come talk to me?
What a time.
I would love if you could poll the people and ask what their screen names were, because I know so many good ones of people who are like, you know, soccer girly 1, 2, 3, and they never played soccer in their lives.
100%.
So I'm excited to hear what people's screen names
are. That's going
to
be a poll in the Momfluencer this week, so stay tuned for that. I'll also do another like question box, or maybe I'll do it on my feed and you all can share distinct memories. Like if you had your first kiss and then sprinted inside and AIM'd someone about it, you can share that too. We would love that. Okay. Let's move on. Steve Jobs moment of the week. What's making you feel like Steve Jobs right now? So context for this segment, if you didn't listen to our first episode, is just as I would like to say accidental entrepreneurs, we both got thrown into doing things as we run our business that we are like, how are we doing this? We were not business majors and or very techie, but we figured it out. And so we both have one this week. What was your Steve Jobs moment of the week?
Yeah, I needed to update something. I wanted to put a link to my business podcast in my email signature from like my Gmail, and then also in my email signature that comes through my email service provider. It's called ConvertKit. And it seemed like a really easy task, but it was something that I was going to have to like put some thought into because of the formatting. So I go into my email service provider and I open it up and I'm like, what did I do here? This is literally HTML coding. Like it wasn't just add a social button. It was real coding in there. The size of the pixel, of how big you wanted it to be.
You made it
the space between them.
With the brand colors.
I mean, I was like, where did I do this? I had done it a while ago. And so, but I wanted to make a change to it. And then I Googled and I was deep into like YouTube videos and not up to date tutorials. And I kind of got it to a place. I still need to go back and fix it, but it was literally coding. Like it was something outside of the realm that my email service provider did. And I had to like find a workaround hack to get it to how I wanted to look. It's still a task that's on my to-do list because it's not finished. It's taking up too much of my time, but I'm like 80% of the way there.
But well, and I loved it.
I mean,
it
I opened it up
me.
And I was like, what did I do here? I don't even know what I did 2 years ago to set this up to begin with.
When you asked me, you were like, how's your signature? How'd you do it? I was like, girl, I just put Rebecca. Like
love
there's
Rebecca.
Not one link. There's not one icon. There's no HTML. Like it is the most basic. And I tell it to myself that, oh, this will help with deliverability. But really, I just don't want to code. That's where I'm at.
That's fine.
My
tell
coding
me,
days
you had
pass
a,
in MySpace.
Right. You have a Steve Jobs moment this week, though, too.
My Steve Jobs moment of the week is really more of like a Steve Jobs fail. But all I wanted to do, we have the domain bestiebusinessbanter.com. We don't have a website yet. We wanted to go, if you get a domain before it matters, they're like so cheap. So we have the domain. And once you have a domain, you can have an email. So we wanted to have an email at bestiebusinessbanter.com so we could reach out to our guests, do scheduling, all that. So we're not having to like email them from our personal or, you know, I have a friend who does customer service for me. So like if someone emails me at my business email, it's going through Allison first. So then like that gets I like just didn't want to make it complicated. We had to have something separate. Of course, if you give a mouse a cookie in the biz, like it's never just like set up an email for the pod. I had to go into my host SiteGround, had to get on this conversation, had to do all these different things. I get on tech support, which shout out to Georgie K. Georgie with an I, no E at the end, with SiteGround. SiteGround is by far, I've done several hosts, the best website hosting that I've ever used in terms of their customer service. Like, Georgie's going to see me through. They're not just going to answer your question and be like, I'm out, leave me a 5-star review. He's like, what else can I do for you? And while he was in there helping me with my one question, he was like, you've actually been paying for twice as much like service than you actually need. He's like, I can go ahead and change this for you. It'll save you about $170 a year. I was like, yeah, Georgie, let's go ahead and do that. And so he just did it for me. That's the other thing. He didn't just send me like a link to like, oh, and here's the page that I'll tell you how. He literally went in and did it. And he was like, okay, love go that. Check and make sure it's right. And then it was like done. I'm like, that is the customer service I need. So I guess this week I'm not Steve Jobs. Georgie is Steve Jobs on my behalf. But I just felt like I needed to shout out Georgie for that because he really did the most this week. And also, I can't believe since 2020 when I switched to SiteGround, I've been paying double what I needed for hosting. But you know what?
Now it's we have okay. an email address. Tell them what our email address is.
Our email is hello@bestiebusinessbanter.com. So if you would like to contact us there, don't, unless, I'm just kidding. I just don't love answering email, but we are going to use it for scheduling guests. The best way to reach us is always the DMs. The DMs are the best place that we're actually going to check. Okay, that's our Bestie Banter. And I'm excited because now we're getting into our first real business banter segment, and I'm going to interview you and give us some context. So first, one thing we're going to do with every business that comes on is the businesses that we're reaching out to want to interview. It's all people. It's all brands that we really love and that we're really rooting for and we think are doing a really good job. And so we always want to start off by just telling them what we love about them and why we're thrilled they're on the pod. So I'm going to do that for you.
Okay? Oh, words of affirmation here to start off our business banter. I'm doing it for
you, words of affirmation. And so if y'all don't follow Lauren already, if you haven't looked, she's the Counselor Click on Instagram and everywhere on the internet. She's Counselor Click. That's C-L-I-Q-U-E. And she's your high school counseling hype girl. And I just think you have such a clear brand. Like, you decided you were going to be the internet's high school counseling hype girl. And that's who you are. And I love that it like truly like you did grow up cheerleading and it like fits who you are. And you, one of your strengths finders, your top strengths finder, if y'all have done strengths finder, is woo. And that's what you do. You woo people. You bring them into the brand. Your colors are so clear. Your messaging is so clear. Your aesthetic is so good. Like, you are, I mean, if y'all don't know, I think I mentioned last week, I hired Lauren to do my social media because she's just so much better at it than me. And not the mom, y'all can see the difference. Momfluencer feed, that's all me. You can see what that looks like. And then go to it's.not.rocket.science or go to Counselor Click and you'll see what Lauren's creating. And just the difference is so clear. And you just make such good products. And then the other thing I'll say too, because I could go on and on, you really genuinely care about your audience. And I genuinely feel like you care about your audience probably more than I do. Like, you truly are feel burdened for high school counselors. You want to see them through. You want to help them love and re-energize their programs. And you do so many things to serve them in that way. And then also, I just think the resources you create are phenomenal. I think one of the very first things you made courses was that college course. And I still think it's amazing. And I still think it's going to explode one day. But that's a story for another day. So that's why I love you. I would love you just to kind of like, if you're in an elevator with someone, give us your elevator pitch. How would you explain what you do to listeners in like the shortest way possible to give them context?
Yeah, you're so much better at the elevator pitch than I am. I need to get better at it. I tell people, well, it depends on who is asking, you know. In short, I say my mission statement, I guess, to like the general high school counseling people is that I help high school counselors energize their programs and remind them of how much they love their job because they got into this because they love working with students, but they get a lot of stuff just thrown on their plate. And I'm helping them kind of recalibrate and get back to working with students so that they love their job again and giving them resources to help them do that. And so my business kind of has three main components, I would say, right now is downloadable digital resources. So to the person in the elevator, I would describe it like I sell digital downloadable resources on a marketplace similar to Etsy, but for educators. So mm-hmm. high school counselors can go in and download resources that would help them with their programs. And then I have a podcast that is free content for everyone to listen each week. And then I also have a membership for high school counselors where they can pay monthly or annually. And inside my membership, I do teaching, give a resource each month, and they have a community where they can connect with other high school counselors. So three parts of the business, resources, podcast, and membership.
And I feel like something that's so unique about your business and so good is like there's a huge market for counseling resources, but it's so saturated for elementary and middle. And the high school counseling is so niche because I think so many people have a misunderstanding and think high school counseling is just getting them to graduate and getting them to college if that's their plan, or like just getting them to their postgraduate plans, whatever that may be. And so they don't think of it as the way that you think about it and the way that, again, you are serving students and really counseling them. And so, and that's one reason why I love you started your membership, because I mean, you've told me so many times, even when we taught at the same school, you're sitting in the same professional developments that I am as a high school science teacher. They have nothing to do with what you do. And so your membership is so unique because you're creating really curated content for the high school counselor. And like what's crazy is your market is still not even that saturated. Like I still feel like you are like, you're definitely the OG, but I still feel like you are like the main person owning this space. And I'm just really proud of you.
Thanks.
You were a full-time high school counselor before you started doing this. So kind of do like a how it started versus how it's going. What were the beginning days of starting Counselor Click like? Why did you start? And then kind of how has it evolved from when you were doing it in the beginning to like kind of what it looks like more now?
Yeah. Back in the day, it was kind of popular to have a blog and just like share what you were doing. And so actually that's how I started. I was just sharing ideas. It was not like monetized. It was not a business in any sort of way. And then I think when you started your business, you had told me about it. Hey, you should do this. I had like resources that I was using in my department with students and with my co-counselors and stuff. And I think I put one of them, I had a blog post for that like product essentially. And I had a pin that kind of went viral. I mean, it still is like a very popular resource today. But that was to a blog post. And then when you start your like marketplace shop, you have to put a paid resource and a free resource. And I put that paid one up there for a little bit and I mean, made some money. And I was like, oh, that was kind of cool. So it definitely started very slow. I think I just put something up there because you told me I should. And then, I mean, those were like very beginning days, like 2017 or something.
And you wouldn't even have called it a side hustle at that point. You would have just said it's my hobby.
No. Not even that in the very beginning was like I'm just doing it. I don't know. I'm not even like, there's nothing to this.
I just feel like 2008 to 2012 was like people just blogged. Like people just had a blogger and they just blogged to do it. Like, so that makes sense.
We said in the last episode, kind of as an intro of, I don't think I really got started until like 2018. So I had my first daughter. I had gone back after maternity leave. I don't know that I was like looking for stuff to do, but I realized like, hey, as I'm going and looking for high school counseling resources, there's nothing out there. And I'm a creative person. I saw what elementary school counselors were doing. And I was like, I could do that too. I know that I could. And I actually remember I design a lot in Adobe Illustrator, which is a little different. Most people design in PowerPoint. And we went to the beach. Oh, actually, this is like a little farther back, I guess. I feel like when we went to the beach, that next summer, 2018, my sister-in-law is a real graphic designer and uses the Adobe suite of products to create things. And she kind of gave me some tips and tricks and shortcuts. And that's when I like really got into kind of the design piece of it and was like, okay, I can use this. And then I feel like that summer I was working a lot because I only had one daughter and she was young and napping and kind of got into it. Then I feel like another big like turning point for me was the next summer I was like working on creating a lot of resources. Like I had a goal to have 100 different downloadable resources in my shop. And then when my second daughter was born, and maybe this might get to answering some of your other questions, but I took a digital course from Amy Porterfield called Digital Course Academy. It was a course on how to create a digital course. And I learned so much, really, about marketing, about tech stuff, about a lot of the behind the scenes stuff and the marketing tactics, if you will, to get somebody to purchase your offer. And that translated into a lot of other areas of my business. That really got me thinking, this could be something bigger and I need to be more intentional about how I'm planning this. And then when I decided I wasn't going back to work, I mean, I was really going into this like full swing. So
tell them why, because when I asked for questions for you, a lot of the questions I got were really the same thing. How did you do the when did you know to go from high school counseling to this? Or, you know, what was that point? So explain kind of the context, because your decision to leave was really different from mine, which I'll share next episode. So why don't you tell them kind of what was the turning point?
Yeah, I never thought I would be a stay-at-home mom, work-from-home mom. I was obsessed with my job. After having my first daughter, going back to work, it was just not like I expected it to be, because I thought staying home even for maternity leave would be really hard. Like, I'd be wanting to work, but I didn't. I actually like really enjoyed it. And then going back to work, I had an administrator that I worked for that I loved. I had a team that I worked with that I loved. Like, it was the best case scenario, and it was still hard to go back. Mm. And so when I had my second and things were kind of shifting and changing, a different administration, different leadership in my department, it was just going to look different when I came back that fall, I guess, if I were to still stay. It was COVID 2020 when I was pregnant with number two. I thought it was hard enough for me to go back when everything was perfect in the whole situation, but it was tough. It was starting to be harder for me to think of going back when it was not going to be the perfect situation. So that's what really got me thinking.
Well, and I remember you were in a loan forgiveness program for your loans. It was like a 10-year, if you teach in XYZ type of school, your loans will be forgiven. And so that was a huge decision make factor for you too, because whenever, if you stop 8 years in, you owe 20% of the remaining loan. And so that
you owe all of it.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
You've been paying all of that?
Yes. So, okay, listen, we paid off my husband's student loan while I was working before we had kids. We paid off $42,000 in 11 months. We're really proud of that. We like
Dave Ramsey.
Yes, we are big fans. And so we knew that like we could do it again with mine, but we had really been waiting it out because I was doing public service loan forgiveness. When you work in a public service entity, after 10 years, your loans are forgiven. You're kind of paying your like basic income-based repayments. And so that was a really big deciding factor that we had to think about. If I were to stop working, we pay the whole thing back. And so I'm looking at it right now, $36,000 in student loans.
Plus, you weren't getting your counseling salary, but you weren't paying double daycare. So it was...
Right. I was like, okay, if I stay home, then we're not paying for daycare. That would be half my paycheck with two kids. Just the financials of it were like, it was scary, but at the same time, I was like, we can do it. We've done it before. I don't know. Like, his income was lower when we paid off his, and that... For me, the health insurance, so that's always a big issue for people when they're leaving like their workplace. Thankfully, like I could be on my husband's insurance and so could our kids. And so that wasn't that big of a deal. The biggest thing was knowing that we were going to have to pay off $36,000 of student loans. So
and where I, we are doing are you it right in that now. Process.
We are. So we had paid a big chunk of it. We were down to about $21,000. Okay, we did that August to November 2021. We paid off, 36 minus 21. And then we paused it because like nationally they put a pause on it. And we're like, we'll just like stockpile our cash and hang on to it and then like pay it all off at once. And we are getting more serious about our budget now that the new year rolled around. We could potentially pay it off by April at the earliest if like some stars align for some things. And then August at the latest is our goal to pay it off. So
it's exciting.
We'll give an update on that.
Okay. So do you feel like when you decided to stay home, that's when you felt... Or do you think it was DCA? Or because that wasn't, you were still in the classroom.
I was on maternity leave with Merit. So
when do you feel like you're like learning a lot? Business, DCA or I'm done in the classroom or in the school? Sorry. I'm always going to say classroom.
Right. I think when I decided I was done, we got a desk in our bedroom and like really set up. I'm serious. It was like the workspace. I used to just like work at night on my computer on the couch and having a big screen. And like with this being like, this is a real thing. It's a serious thing. I have a desk. I have a printer. I have a, big monitor, camera, microphone, all the things. That really like changed my mindset around it. And then deciding to stay home, it was not like, let's see if we can go in on all the hours to make this a real business. But having some structure in my day, I really had Merit in August 2020. Ellie was not in preschool. Then that next January, Ellie started going to preschool. And I feel like I had some time to start working and dedicating to the business. So like 2021, it really has only been like 2 years of like some structure in place around my business and some goals of like where I want it to go. And you know, narrowing in on what my vision is for my days, my weeks, my months, and like where mm-hmm. I see it going.
And two questions for you. One, how many hours would you say you work a week? And then two, we're never going to, we've decided we're never going to ask someone like, tell us how much money you've made. Like no one's going to tell us that. And it just, it's irrelevant because, you know, what sounds like a lot to someone is different for someone else. But I would love to know, like, you know, what is one way that the success of your business, you know, has changed y'all's life? Or, you know, is there something you've been able to do as a family that you didn't think was possible, but you can now because of your business? So first, how many hours do you work a week? And then kind of give us like something that's been cool that the business has afforded y'all to do.
Yeah. Right now I would say I have 3 mornings a week, like 9 to 12:30. So like 3.5, 3, 6, 9, 10, maybe 11.5 hours that are like dedicated to working because there are no kids in my house. I try and work during the afternoon nap, but my oldest one, it's really hard to steward her energy right now. So I'm saving like tasks that don't require a lot of brain work for the afternoon. So I might work 1 to 2 hours in the afternoon. Are you tallying it up right now?
No, I'm turning off my alarm that's going to go off in a minute.
Okay. So maybe 15 hours a week. I mean, that's on a good generous week. I would say. Yeah. And then in terms of like things that it has afforded us to do, I think it's given us the confidence to pay off my student loan, knowing, you know, that would have been really scary, I think, to leave the school without a source of income to pay off that mm-hmm. student loan. And I would have said, like, we can do it. We can like sacrifice for a certain amount of time to pay that off. And I'm confident that we are a good enough team that, and we're on the same trajectory that we could do that. But this has allowed me to do it a little faster. I feel like we're still sacrificing in a lot of ways, but still getting to like invest in our marriage. Like we're going away for 3 nights to celebrate our anniversary. And we're not going out of the country or flying on an airplane anywhere to do that, but we're still able to do that. And I think that if I wasn't providing like something, some sorts of income for my family, I think that would be a little bit harder to do.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So let's do some a little bit more rapid fire questions because we're all kind of deeper. So as of now, for one thing we want to do too, as with this podcast, is shedding light on like, I think sometimes it's really easy to look at a business and see where it is in this moment in time and be like, dang, I could never do that. Or like, wow, they must have a huge team or whatever. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's go back to the beginning. Like it has been a slow growth. I know for us, especially like both of our businesses have grown slowly in small increments. And like in the beginning, you're doing everything and you are still doing a lot. I think you just started outsourcing. So why don't you share some of the things you outsource in your home and in your business? Because I think that's another thing we need to shed light on is like, it can be hard to do, like no one who's doing this is doing everything. And so that's that we want to make this like more approachable for people. So tell the people, what are some things you outsource?
Yeah, I would say in my home, I mean, I do grocery pickup, but no one's bringing them to my house, but I'll do that every once in a while. I have a cleaning lady come once a month. That helps me like reset. I pay for my kids to go to mm-hmm. preschool 3 mornings a week. And then that's in important. The summer. Yeah. And then in the summer, I will have a sitter come probably 3 mornings a week just so I can keep that kind of routine mm-hmm. and that structure to my work day too. So that's how we'll shift in the summer. I'm trying to think of anything else in my home that I do like for convenience or anything. The last couple of weeks we've done HelloFresh. That's just like something a little different, but I've been enjoying that. Okay. Inside my business, I do a lot. And not because I like don't want to give it up, but because my husband and I were joking yesterday. He's like, how do you make more money in your business? You make more money on like a product or something, or you spend less on money. Other exactly. things. And so, you know, if the goal is to make more money with it, then like, what can I do myself? And so I have really in the last couple of months spent a lot of time of like, what takes up a lot of my time that's not generating income? Or because a lot of things I don't mind doing, and we kind of mm-hmm. joked about this, it's like, I kind of feel like a jack of all trades. And so there are a lot of things I really don't mind doing. Like I only started outsourcing my podcast editing and production in November. I did my own podcast from January to November of last year, which is a lot of behind the scenes. it takes a lot each week. And so I was realizing that with the limited amount of hours that I have, yes, my podcast can bring in new listeners and turn them into customers and, you know, loyal members of my membership, but somebody else can do that, somebody who has those skills. And so to realize that that is worth it for me to pay someone who has those skills to do it has been a really good move for me. And that was just at the end of last year. I have a friend who writes some blog posts for me, and that has been fun to, again, give somebody who has these skills and gifts and abilities, like what she writes, I read it, I'm like, that's better than what I could have written. So I don't have this, I definitely don't have a complex of like, they're not going to do it as good as mm-hmm. me. It's more like, I don't want to spend the money on it.
No, I mean, it's a great point.
That comes from my like saver of a husband, but we're never going to like, I'm never going to have an offer where I just like hope to break even. Like that's not, I'm not going to put a lot of work in or spend too much money on ads just to like hope that I make it back. I like want to be really intentional about how I spend my money and make it so that it frees me up to do either things that I love to do for my business and take away things that I don't want to do, or give me more time to create income producing, like revenue producing items.
Okay. So speaking of that, what would be your favorite things that you do in your business right now? And what would be some of your least favorite things?
Okay, I love interacting with people on social media. So I don't mind creating things for social media. I like the creativity of it and trying new things. And I really like connecting with people who are following and listening. And that's really why I created a membership too, so I could continue that connection piece. So I like social media. I don't mind writing emails, like weekly emails. I sit down and try and batch them all together, but I feel like that's a communication piece that requires some creativity. Like I send a weekly email each week that has kind of like a little story in it that connects to a point I'm trying to make while I'm sharing what my weekly content is. And then what's something else I love? I do like podcasting, especially now that I don't have to do all the management of it. That makes it a lot more enjoyable. Those are things that they're kind of like each big pieces of my business that I really enjoy. I think it would surprise people that I don't love like creating the actual like resources that sit in my shop that much. I like it and it's fine. It just takes a lot of time. And I don't think that people realize how much time it takes. And once you get the resource done, basically like double that in time of you're creating some previews for it, maybe a video that walks people through what's inside, you're marketing it. So just when you think you're done, like go ahead and double that time for like getting the word out there that it's done. So that can kind of be tedious. I do like creating them, but it's not my fave. Some other things I feel like I do that like the next thing I might outsource would be Pinterest and like creating pins and scheduling them. It's not like the most fun. I don't know. I don't know if I have anything else that I like really don't like. I mean, I just kind of do
well, and that's something I think that's unique about you is you like doing all the different things. You like the diversity of the job, if you will. That's a strong suit of yours.
And I would say too, like it took a lot, like Curtis, who doesn't like to spend money, my husband was like, hey, I think it is time to give up the podcast editing. And he was like, what part don't you like about it? And I was like, well, I don't mind all of it. Like that's like what I did in college was edit radio shows and stuff and TV shows. So I've done the editing. I really don't mind doing it. It just takes a lot of time. And so I think things that would be on my bottom list would just be like the time suckers that take away from the things that I really do like to do.
That is cool though in your story, like that your major actually does help you now. But when you did that major, it's not like you thought, I'm doing this so that I will have a podcast one day.
I don't even think podcasts were things then when I was in college.
I don't think they existed. Just the radio. Am I going to have an FM radio show, Dear Delilah? But
yeah.
Counselor Click? Okay, so if you could go back and tell yourself one thing starting out, what would it be?
I would say that it's slow growth. Like, don't expect it to be overnight. I don't think I expected it to be overnight, but I would tell myself, like, what's coming is cool. Like, I would have never thought I would not be in a classroom or in the school, but I would never be able to have a membership if I was working full time in a school right now. I have a lot of not extra headspace because hashtag mom, but I have more space to be creative and to put time into recording things for my members and researching things that I'm going to teach them about and train them on. So I would say, like, take the leap because yes, it's scary, but it'll pay off and it'll be really fun. And I do feel like I'm in a really sweet spot in life and in my family right now, where I've realized that everything is a season, I can go back to working in school if I want to. My kids won't be like fighting their naps for forever. They will be in school at some point too. And so looking at everything as if it's a season and it does not have to be hard and fast and concrete. I don't think I usually think in those really like black and white ways. I live in the gray a lot, but knowing that it might be scary at times, but like you're going to, this is me telling myself, like you're going to learn so much. I have learned so much that I never imagined that I would about business and marketing and creative things and email and all those Steve Jobs things. I'm excited to see like where it goes in the next couple of years because of the growth I've even seen in just, you know, three years. So that's been fun.
Yeah. I feel like if you are interested in being an edupreneur, you know, which I feel like would qualify us, it all just starts with having a good product. And then from there, you can learn the rest. Like we've learned so much through Google and YouTube and all of that. You're so right. And I think the slow growth is the key. Like don't look at where people are now. You got to go back in the archives of 2017 when you were just blogging for fun to see the beginning and how like it's built, which I think is encouraging. Okay, what do you think is one thing you've done really well in your time as a business owner?
Okay, let me tell you something that I feel like my husband does well that helps steer me in the right direction. He is very discerning and he's like, stop doing this, do this. He really helps me think through what I like, what I'm good at, what direction the business needs to go in. So I really appreciate that about him because I would be all over the place. I have like lots of creative ideas and I want to do it all, but like my time is limited. My energy and resources are limited. So I cannot do it all. But the question was something I think I do well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's great though, is like you do listen to Curtis's, you share with Curtis. Y'all really, I feel like partner well in that.
Yeah. I would say something that I've done well this past year is, kind of thinking of how I can diversify my income. I mean, and I know we're not, I know we're not going to like talk too much about like income and stuff, but because I like having lots of little projects, I do them. So like I do some projects for you that you pay me for and because I like to do them. And so I don't know, that's kind of fun. I've done more like brand collaborations and stuff using my platform on Instagram that I really feel like I have a voice with high school counselors. And that has been cool. So I guess taking my like scatteredness and channeling it towards things that help my business. You know, oftentimes it can be very scattered and all over the place, but I like to use that as a strength and see how I can like diversify my income and have different projects going at the same time.
I think that's a huge strength of yours. I mean, looking at how many different ways, like you do not have all your eggs in one basket. I have my eggs very heavily in one basket with like two sub baskets and that's it. But you have learned like how you're doing affiliate things, brand, like collaborating with brands, like sponsorships. You're doing a lot of stuff. And I think that's really cool. And I'm really proud of you doing that. And I'm also grateful that you take on my side projects. We were dying at this podcast retreat because they kept being like, yeah, you can hire someone to do X, Y, Z or have someone who's already on your team do it. And I'd look at Lauren and be like, you want me to pay you to do this for me? Because I don't want to do it.
And it's funny because I have to weigh like, is it gonna take away from my business? Because like I'm sitting here, I'm like trudging down this path. But the things that you asked me to do are like, I mean, you're never like pressuring me or anything, but you're saying, hey, I'll pay you for this. And it's usually something that I can't say no to because it's something creative, right? Yes. It's like, I can do that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I need you for the creative stuff, the graphic stuff. Like the fact that you work in Adobe Illustrator, to me, I'm like, you have a graphic design career. Like you are a professional. I'm over here like in Canva, like how do I access my brand kit template again? Okay. Would you say that the best investment you've made in your business was DCA?
I think so. That's Digital Course Academy by Amy Porterfield. She has a free podcast called Online Marketing Made Easy, which I had listened to before. But I would say like when we're talking investment, I mean, it was like $2,000 or something. Like to me, that was like one of the biggest investments I've ever made, like in myself and in my like professional journey. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of money on other things like my email service provider or my website maintenance and care. Like I have some like big ticket annual items, but in terms of like me, I think that I would say even just the podcast retreat we went on this past weekend, that was a big investment in me being like, okay, like we're paying money so I can learn things and I can grow things and I can think about where I'm taking my business.
Yeah, I love that. I like to say, I really feel like you, what you said earlier about DCA by Amy Porterfield, like it's not just about creating a course. It's so much. Like we basically got our MBAs from Amy Porterfield.
For real.
Everything we know is from her. Okay. What's one thing you're really excited about in your business right now?
Ooh, something I'm excited about. This year, I really just want to like take steps of faithfulness forward with like what's in front of me. I really don't want to do like lots of like big different things. I want to narrow in on the things I'm doing well and just, and that's like in life too. Like I don't want to do anything like much different. I've been like really trying to hound in on like rhythms and routines and stuff like that in my personal life. And I feel the same in business. I am maybe potentially working on an audio course. So like a course that counselors can take that is audio only. So like a private podcast, they can listen to it. We'll see if I have the time to get that going. So that's something I'm like excited about potentially coming and just rethinking some things that I'm doing inside of my membership. I'm having some conversations right now with some current members to see, you know, what they like about it and what I can tweak and change for them. So those are things that are like kind of upcoming. The exciting thing for me would be like to keep it the same because I am like all over the place and trying to change things up all the time.
And I feel like that makes sense. Like I feel like as you get going, you're trying all these different things and you're like always going, going, going. And then I feel like for me, that year was 2020, which was 4 years into my business. This is almost around the same time in yours. Mm-hmm. And that was when I like stopped and I was like, okay, like let's like streamline, let's simplify, let's, for me that, which we'll get into later, that was when I was like, okay, let's just like make this a business and not just like this hobby type thing. But
yeah, I would say it's not maybe something I'm excited about, but something that's kind of coming on the horizon is a lot of back end stuff that people won't see. So automating some processes inside of the business that just work when I'm not working, if that makes sense, like in terms of my email and my offers and stuff. So that's not big and exciting because that's not like how I like to spend my time, but I know that it's exciting because I'm going to, like, my future me is going to thank my current me for doing that.
To have things automated and going behind the scenes for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. This time next year, what's one way you hope your business looks different?
I hope I have all of that stuff done.
Yeah.
Like all of the back end stuff done. I think like much longer term. Oh, I didn't say this, but I really enjoy like speaking, teaching, training high school counselors. So I think like longer term, I would love to do more speaking things. Like I spoke at the state conference and I've done that before, but like maybe I'll get accepted to speak at the national conference, or maybe people would like bring me to speak in their districts or something. But right now with young kids, that feels really hard. So that feels like a much farther out future thing, but it's something I really enjoy that I would like to do more of. It's like do more of what you love.
I love that. Okay. A couple more questions. And this is going to be really more about how you're balancing your role as a wife, as a mother, as a business owner. So first, how is Curtis, your husband, like how is he kind of involved? How does he take on responsibilities maybe in the business and in your home so that you can have a business?
Yeah. Like we already said, he is like a huge cheerleader. He really knows a lot about my business, which I appreciate. We are very different. We have different strengths. We bring different things to the table. He has done a lot of the organization inside my business in terms of like compiling data and helping make data-driven decisions about what happens next. So I will give him a spreadsheet and he looks at it. I remember him looking at a spreadsheet one time and saying, "Is this what the inside of your brain looks like?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's just words all over." And he's like, "Why would you use a spreadsheet to like write words in like random columns?" I'm like, "I don't know. That's just like what's going on in there."
And he's like, "I just heard I should do a spreadsheet." So
I don't know. I'm just like writing it here. So he is really great at like pulling stuff together. Like he will do a year-end report for me and like basically like do a presentation on my business. Of like, this is what went well. These are your stats from things. And I really appreciate that. And he was actually the one who said I should do a membership. I was really against doing a membership, you know, 2 years ago. And he said, "Your membership does not have to be you giving resources away," because I didn't want to keep creating resources. He said, "You love teaching and training and you come alive when you do that. Why don't you have a membership where you do that?" And so he's very inspirational behind, you know, pushing me in different directions. He does all the numbers. So he does the budgeting. He'll get our stuff ready for taxes. I'm like, I don't even want to learn it. When I was like, "Do I need to give 1099s to contractors?" I was like, "I need you to go fill out those forms for me because that just feels like a lot in my brain."
He does all the ad stuff, which if you're a business owner and you've been inside Facebook ads, they like to play this game where every 6 weeks they change the entire interface of Facebook ads. You constantly have to relearn it. It's exhausting.
Yeah. So that might be a fun fact that people who are listening who know me in real life and know Curtis in real life don't know that he does. He does Facebook ads. That's a way that like we as a family have been diversifying our income too, because he was always like, what can I do to help you in your business? I mean, at one point he was like, teach me how to edit a podcast. I'll do that. I'm like, no, then I have to teach you how to edit a podcast. Let's do things that you already know how to do. He is an engineer by day and a Facebook ads manager by night.
He does a great job.
He does. If you are a business owner and you're listening, a holler, we'll get you set up. But also it's data, it's analytics, it's making informed data decisions with money and numbers and reaching new followers and finding new people to bring to your email list and stuff. And he's so good at it.
Well, y'all are a great team because you are great at the image and the copy, like the words, and then he's great on everything on the back end. And I think that's what makes hiring out Facebook ads to a marketing agency so expensive is because they have to have this whole team, because it's really hard to find one person who can do all those giftings. But between the two of y'all, you guys both do it. And it's, I'm like, literally every time y'all do my Facebook ads, I'm like so impressed, especially after having worked with a very expensive, very large marketing agency. And then I'm like, y'all are better than them. So this ad is sponsored by Curtis Engel of the Counselor
Click. Full service Facebook ads by Curtis. That's what it's called.
Full service Facebook ads. Love it. By the Tingle fam.
Yeah. I mean, I would say he takes a lot of anything I need help with. Like he jumps in, but I kind of know where his strengths are. And so I bounce a lot of ideas off of him, and he does anything that is pertaining to numbers.
I feel like with the home stuff too, he is good. You, especially in the beginning, you were working nights a lot. Like you were texting me at midnight. And I think he would kind of step in there. You can.
Well, like last night I had to finish up something at like 5 o'clock when he came up. I mean, like my kids got up at like 3:30 and there was I couldn't do anything. And I really had some things, like little tasks that I needed to finish up and get out for last night. And he made dinner and I shut the door and like got the couple of things done. And so we're a good team in that way. Like he knows that this is a real business that makes real money and like is a real thing. So he's not, he has never been one to be like, oh, that's cute that you're doing that. Like he has such a partner mentality and owns stuff in the home just as I would. And, you know, we have talked about it. Like I get, this is like a heart issue for me. I will get jealous that he like goes to work and works all day. And he's like, it's not any easier. Like I deal with crazy people at work. I'm like, I deal with crazies in my house all day. And he's like, I'm dealing with them at work too. So, I mean, we give and take. If there is, he does a little bit of work at home for work now in his role that he might have to do. But really when he comes home, he is like on in terms of like family. So I appreciate that about him.
I do too. Okay. So I want to know, how would your kids describe what mom's job is?
Okay. This is funny because I do think that Ellie has an idea, but it's still very such a foreign concept to her. So part of the time she thinks all I do is talk to you. She's like, are you going to go send emails to Rebecca?
Which is accurate.
Right. Right. So she has no idea other than I communicate with you all the time. So that's, you know, part friendship, part work, but we just talk about work all the time. And then the other thing she thinks I do, which is accurate, she says I do something for high school counselors. She says I talk to the high school counselors. So when she is pretending to be me at the computer, she'll like pull up the microphone and be like, hello, high school counselors. And she doesn't say anything of value when she is the one communicating. She's like, so I do hope that I say more things of value than she thinks that I do. But she'll be like, hello, high school counselors who are doing high school counseling things. It's like very general. And then sometimes, like one time she was like, mom, do you still work at Wade Hampton? Like the high school that I used to work at. And I was like, baby, when do you think I go to work there? Have you ever seen me like go to a school? No. So she knows what I used to do too. It'll be interesting to have her like understand a little more of what I do as she even sees the role of a school counselor in her elementary school where she goes next year.
Right. Like they did like a science week at preschool once, and Thomas was like, yeah, T, that's, you know, what mommy used to do. And he just like did not understand. Like, you did experiments like this. I mean, they did like, you know, the volcano, like all the classic things, but
right.
It is, yeah, their concept, since they're not in like real school yet, is just kind of funny.
And when dad goes to work, he leaves the house. So right. It's like, I work on my computer in my room. Like, what could you possibly be doing on there?
Right. It's very hard for them to reconcile in their little brains. Okay. So last thing is, if you could give any advice or just anything you would say to any moms listening who are trying to balance the demands of being a mom and a business owner, or maybe just like a work from home person, any advice for them, what would you say?
Yeah. First of all, I am so curious to hear what our other guests are going to say to this question, because I'm always wanting to learn from other people. But I would say, in my small stint of time as a mom and a business owner, something that I've had to learn, I guess, is to like give myself grace that things are going to come and go in different seasons. And that's how I had to, when I stepped away from my role in the school, knowing, hey, if this doesn't work out, it's just a season. I can go back. Or if I want to do more or less of things, I get to, which is fun because like I'm the boss, I'm the business owner. But at the same time, you know, I would tend more to wanting to work more and spend more time on my job and my business. But the season that we're in does not allow that. I have limited working hours, just to be okay, like to give myself grace in that like all the deadlines and any stress that I put on myself is self-inflicted. Like, I don't need to be stressed. I mean, our husbands both say that to us all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, why is this a stressful thing for you? Like, can't you just change the deadline? Yes, I could. But I always want to work more. I know that I don't want to wish away, you know, my kids being young or not being in school or moving into that season. So it's just a tension that I live in, and I think I'm learning to be okay with it. So I guess my advice would be, you know, if someone is feeling that exact same way, to know that they're not alone in that, because I feel that all the time. Mm-hmm. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, holding things in tension for sure. And I mean, even like I'm thinking, people often will DM me and ask, you know, like, well, what's your work schedule like? What's this? And I'm like, it literally changes every time one of my kids' sleep schedules changes. Like, and I feel like when you have a baby that first year, it's like every 4 weeks, it's like you're dropping a nap and stretching this, and they have longer wait time. Thus, they have like, it's so much adjustment that is like required with each thing. And I know we were just talking about before we recorded, like, you know, your daughter, like, yes, your oldest is doing quiet time, but it can still have interruptions. So the type of work you can do during nap time now or quiet time is different than the type of work you can do during preschool. But like, just being okay with that, because like you said, 6 months from now, our oldest are going to be in kindergarten. And so these like conversations, these afternoon distractions won't exist. And so I think that's great advice. Like, I'm not good at this. Like, one, I'm not good at living in the gray. And two, I'm not good at adjusting because I'm like so rigid and structured, but it's so required to balance like the ever-changing nature of our kids and being a mom and then, yeah, being a business owner.
And just when you think you found the most ideal schedule or you've worked it out perfectly, like it changes again. Mm-hmm. And it changes depending on what you like to work on during that, like in that season too. Like, I'm more creative and more, I'm not detail oriented, but if I'm going to be, it's going to be in the morning. Like, I don't want to type something that requires, you know, creative storytelling in the evening when I might have typos. Like, I love grammar, but I'm going to have typos in the evening that I miss because I'm tired. Or I cannot record something in the afternoon because I'm going to have somebody walking in my room while it's recording. So, you know, the physical things that like have to be all set perfectly to be able to get some work done. And then even my mental capacity being a mom and trying to work, like it's hard. And just when you think you've mastered it, you got to shake it up a little bit.
Well, and I think you're wise to talk about like good advice too is strategizing when you do certain tasks so that you don't carry frustration over onto your kids from work. That like, it's not their fault. It's not Ellie's fault that she's five and doing a quiet time is hard. Like, that is a hard thing to do. And, or, you know, it's not my kid's fault that they have to go to the bathroom during nap time and I'm recording a podcast and I have to stop and then go wipe their booties because they can't do it yet. Like, I made the choice to record it then. Whereas now you and I are so strategic. Like, even when we record these, it's like, okay, all of our kids are at preschool or Rob is napping. Let's go. Like, this is the time. And then also, like you said, with the creative stuff, Kendra Adachi, who's changed both of our lives, said like a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago on a podcast, that creative work requires momentum. And I have never felt more like seen. And it made so much sense why sometimes when I'm trying to write this curriculum, I can't, because I've like been working in these tiny spurts and I cannot get any momentum. And so I think you're right, like strategizing, like, okay, I'm going to do creative. I'm going to start really big creative projects when I in the morning and when I have a longer stretch of time, and then save like the smaller or little or more technical things for the afternoon where I can have an interruption or whatever.
And it's sometimes hard. Something that has helped me in terms of getting those tasks done is by almost like setting my schedule out by the tasks that I want to get done, because I know, one, that they can fit into that period of time, two, mm-hmm. that my brain will be working for that task during that period of time. But instead of just a very general to-do list on my time-blocked calendar, I'm putting these three things that I want to get done, because then when they are done, I feel like I accomplished what I set out to accomplish for the day. I don't find it hard to walk away from my computer because it's not done yet. I'm like, no, I did exactly what I wanted to do, because there is always more to do. And always. So to be able to like close it and walk away, putting those tasks, very specific tasks, in the chunks of time has been really helpful for me.
Yeah, because there's always more you could check off. So to be able to actually break it down into smaller pieces and take, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Isn't that a
there
thing?
There you go.
Is that a quote?
I think so. Unknown.
Okay. Well, loved interviewing you and hearing from you. And even though I talk to you all the time, for everyone listening, next episode, Lauren's going to interview me and then give them a sneak peek of what's after that.
Okay. I'm not going to tell them who, but we have two more guests lined up right now that we are very excited to bring you. So next episode will be me interviewing Rebecca. Then I mean, we have at least two guests lined up that I know that y'all are going to love, because we love following them on Instagram and learning about their businesses and have been cheering for them since we started following. So I'm excited.
Right. And y'all, when I asked for requests in my DMs on Momfluencer, y'all said these people. So get excited. If there are some people, though, that y'all sent that if you listen to episode one are absolutely skull level emoji people. And so again, best way to help us get those skull emoji people to be interviewed is to rate and follow the pod, so we can have good stats to send some of these big people to convince them that it's worth their time to come talk to us and share their stories. So
go into Apple Podcasts. It's right on that home screen. You got to scroll down and then leave us a 5-star rating and review. Go ahead and put those sweet and kind words in that review box and hit submit. Maybe we'll read yours on the air next time.
Yes. Ooh, that would be fun. Also, so many of you all are so sweet. You're DMing me, and or if you know me in real life, you're texting me. And I'm like, I love it. And I want to respond and be like, copy and paste that into the ratings box. So if you want to do that, we would love it.
Okay, we will see you next time. Love, what did we decide was the sign off? Love you like a business bestie.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
If you like what you hear, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review.
If you have thoughts on the show or the segments you heard today, send us a DM over on the Momfluencer Instagram.
See you next time, business bestie.